You have the numbers there, and I hope that you can read. Thank you.
Thank you for that. We have 18 minutes left for committee report question and answer. These are our KPFT special and standing committees. Are there any questions for those committees or committee chairs? I have a lot of them, Ted.
Regarding the presentation just made, it's valuable. It's got very good sense of statistics and everything in it. But one point I wanted to make is there are programs and speech and information given out that is not specific to any ethnicity. And you say that the pie is divided up between various ethnicities is not exactly true, because there are some programs or some information given out by the station that applies to all humanity. So I just wanted to make that statistical point about it. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me make clear, this is the time to ask questions of the committee members or the committee chairs of our KPFT standing and special committees. So a short question, and then we'll allow the committee members or chairs to answer. Ted?
Adriana, I have a question for you. This is a hard, hard, hard question to ask. And I want to make it really clear that I am very concerned about serving the underserved communities that exist within our community. But there is a graph that is not included in your data, and that graph indicates where the money is in the Houston area. And so my question to you is, if we scrap the kind of programming we are doing now, and I think we have to, how are we going to get the kind of money we need from historically low-income communities, the communities that we don't serve? Is that the important question that has to be addressed? I hope.
Yes. I can tell you what the committee did. We knew that in order to have solutions, we need to start putting very clearly what the problems are. And you just see the numbers and you see the problems. The reality is that we are serving the community. You hear, not only here, but everywhere, that sense people of entitlement, you know. I did all of this, I'm entitled to be sitting here. I'm entitled to do that. We know that we need to serve the community. We know that, like was said before by some other people, we don't have music that represents the youth, that represents the people of this city. That is the report. We have less than 5,000. This is the problem. The solution is not up to me. That's why I said there in that report that it's all of us. These are the problems we need to solve.
Ben, you had a question? It's not just for Adriana, by the way. It could be for any committee.
Our executive director talked about discovering through some survey process what the communities need the most, and then finding a value proposition that meets the need in such a compelling way that communities can't do without the service we provide. And I had proposed as much, and one of my biggest failings in the development committee was getting a motion passed where we had the committee's blessing to try to seek that information from communities. But that's something we really need to do. And I'm not sure that it's committee business. It could be. But I wonder how we would proceed with that work as a radio station community. Do you have...
I want to make sure I understand exactly what you're asking, because you set it up well, but I'm not sure exactly what you're asking.
Well, okay, so how would we engage communities to find out what they need?
Oh, I see. Okay.
Most?
Yeah. So I'll give you an example. I spoke to Don about this earlier today, I believe. Let's say we wanted to do programming targeting the LGBTQ community. You may have someone who volunteers to do that show, who could be one member of that community, representing a very marginalized or fractionalized or even a supermajority of that community, who, if you gave them that show, would give a unique angle on that community that may not be representative of the collective. It may never expose some of the nuances of subsets of the LGBTQ community. So what you would rather do is set up an opportunity for some rigorous and strategic community engagement where you would literally send out members of the board, members of the station staff. Maybe you create a relationship with a university who can do some ethnographic research for you or psychographic research and actually go and sit down and do focus groups with members of the community to find out what are the real issues that resonate for this section of the LGBTQ community. Maybe it's the Hispanics who are of that. Maybe it's African Americans. Maybe it's white folks who are LGBTQ. But you're trying to get an idea of what are the issues that really resonate amongst them. And once you can find what we call the nexus, that common space that they all share, you can build programming that speaks to all of them. So it's beyond this race issue, which is certainly germane, but it allows you to address that community in whole. And so now you're not limited to the perspective of that volunteer, even though that volunteer could be asked to host. But now you've got a show that's informed by a lot of different perspectives within that community. And because you've done the engagement work, you now are in a position to ask members of those committee, those people you focus grouped, who are you affiliated with? What organizations are you a part of? What do you volunteer to do? How can I make sure that you're someone I can call on the show to discuss some of these issues as we explore 52 weeks of programming? So that's what community engagement yields. And because of that rigorous strategic engagement work, not only do you have a wider spectrum of topics to discuss, contributors to bring on, but when it's time to fundraise, you got people ready-made to come in your support and bring a whole collective of people to go out and reach out to members of their community to support what you're doing. So if you imagine multiplying that by all the different touch points of this diverse community, we just talked about LGBTQ. Imagine the numbers I've just talked about there. Who's serving them? Who can serve them better than you? So that's, I hope that answers the question.
I want to be clear right now, we're just, thank you. Mm-hmm. We're asking questions to KPFT LSB chairs, committee chairs or committee members. We're going to do the PMB director questions and questions for the executive director in the next section. Are there any other questions at the committee, KPFT committee level? All right, let's move on. We're moving on to item 10. Just so you all know, we're about 38 minutes late. Item A is the audit committee. Elaine Duncan was one of our representatives to the audit committee. She missed too many meetings in a row, but she attended the last meeting, and I believe she still wants to be on the committee. Adriana?
Yes. I put that motion there, and I thought when I talked to...
Can you state your motion?
Yes. My motion is that we, if Elaine Duncan wants to be keep being the audit committee representative, I hope that we that we approve her membership again for the audit committee. She has some problems. She missed 5 meetings in a row, but she told me that she wants to be in the committee. I move that we re-elect Elaine Duncan to the audit committee.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I second.
Are there any objections? Great.
5 or 6 meetings in a row.
Is this an objection, Nancy?
Is there anyone else who
or is
start?
This a point of information?
Yeah, point of information.
What is your question?
Is it 5 or 6 straight meetings she missed in a row?
Adriana, can you speak to that?
Yes. She had an accident. She missed, she was having problems. The audit committee doesn't have 1 meeting a month. We have frequent meetings.
Yes.
And I mean, if a person has within 2 or 3 months, 2 months problems, that can accumulate to the five committee. She told me that she doesn't have a problem, and she wants to be in that committee. And I hope.
Okay, I think that question was answered. Dwayne.
Is there anyone else on this board would want to serve on that committee?
Does anyone else want to represent us on the PNB Audit Committee who's not already on it? You do?
Well, then we should have another election.
Oh, God.
Wait, we have a motion on the floor. There's been a second. Is there an objection to reseating Elaine on the audit committee?
I have a question for me.
Objection?
Is that an objection, Dwayne?
Yes.
Okay.
Can I ask Elaine a question?
Elaine's not here.
She's early.
Which is generally
right. Okay, so we're going to debate this. We're debating whether we should reseat Elaine on the PMB Audit Committee. Adriana, can you speak for your motion?
Yes. The Audit Committee are done by phone. She expressed very clearly that she has problems and she wants to be there. I believe that in January this board need to elect new members to all the committees. I hope that we can accept her and let her finish this year because she was part of this committee. That is my position. I told her that I would do it, but this has to be done.
Thank you. Dwayne.
Possibility purposes and to the my good colleague's comments. That's how I withdraw my
opinion. That's already. Okay, are you moving to a vote?
Motion to vote.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there an objection?
Objection.
No. You're objecting to moving to a vote? All those in favor of moving to a vote, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. All those opposed to moving to a vote. 1, 2, 3. The motion 4. Ooh, that's tricky. What does that mean? If it's 8 to 4, it passes. So we're moving to a vote. We're voting on reseating Elaine on the audit committee. All those in favor, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. All those opposed, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Elaine is our member of the audit committee. Again, I will.
No.
Do I email the PMB secretary? Is that my role?
We don't have a PMB secretary anymore. We have pro tem secretary.
Oh, great. Do I email that person?
That's okay. I mean, you can send it to and I can send it. I'm the secretary of
we'll
the audit
sure
committee. And
just
you can send that
email address. We'll make sure they know.
To the audit committee.
I'll check with y'all later about
yes.
this. Okay. We have 21 more minutes left of this item. We are late, but we have 21 more minutes left for question and answer of our Pacifica National Board Directors. Typically, we have 30-second questions, and then each director gets a minute to respond, and we alternate who goes first. I'm just going to add you to the lineup, and if you want to respond, you can, and if you don't, you don't.
Request
okay?
information, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Now, we've already left the local committee. Is that correct?
Yes, we are on item 10B.
So there was no request for information of anybody on the fundraising committee or the program committee?
Nope, I'm sorry, there was not.
Thank you for the information.
All right, are there any questions for our PMB directors or for our executive director?
May I suggest that our ED is here, he's on the PMB meetings, that we just give our time to him so he can answer the questions and the other people.
I encourage you as directors to make that choice if that is how you want this time to be spent.
Well, no,
if you don't think that's how the time should be spent, then take your time.
Yes, ma'am.
Is there a question for the PMB directors or the executive director? Is a question? Joseph.
Before you took the position, there was a motion that was passed by the PMB, and actually it was a legitimate motion. And it was just basically asking for a report from all the stations, and nothing more than a two-page report on financial activity. And I don't know if you've seen it, and has there ever been any progress on it?
I've never, if I'm hearing you correctly, a two-page report from each station about their financial.
It's just to get information, because we didn't know anything about practices at the station.
No, that has not been provided.
Okay, thank you.
Do any other directors want to respond to that question? You want to respond, Adriana? Go ahead.
We know that we are not receiving information from most of the, not from most,
any of the five stations. We know that the last financial information that the Pacifica National Board has is from October 2017. It's not a way in hell that this foundation of us directors can fulfill our fiduciary duties if we don't have that information. We have a new executive director that doesn't have information. That information is not only withheld because some people don't do the job, some of that information is withheld because people do not want and they do not trust the national office. That is part of the problem.
Thank you. Do any other directors want to respond to this question?
Can just say real quickly, we don't currently have a chief financial officer. However, I have recently signed an agreement with an organization, acronym is NETA, National Education Telecommunication Association, but the backdrop is that they provide financial management and accounting services. I firmly believe that in very short order, we will have a very clear understanding of our financial picture at the station level and at the national level. So while this is certainly a serious issue and one that most wise people would not except an executive director position, not knowing. I've done this before. A quick anecdote, when I took over as the president and CEO of the National Federation of Community Broadcasters, they did have that information, but it was inaccurate. It was so inaccurate that in an independent audit that I performed with an auditor out of New York, I realized that the company was on the verge of bankruptcy in 3 months. I had to raise $1.3 million in 3 months to save the company, and I was able to do that, but my point to you is that you may think you know, but you may not know. And so I accepted this with the notion that I could get to know it, and once finding that out, we would move in the right direction. So we'll get that information soon. You'll be privy to it, the board, the Pacific National Board, and members of this board as well.
Thank you. Are there other questions? Point of information?
Yeah, because at the time I was chair of the National Finance Committee. At that point, I'm no longer that position. However, in a report that NETA gave to the National Finance Committee, it was a public meeting, that he did report to us that they were being basically given that information. So they were contacted.
That's correct.
Directly. So I always wanted to emphasize the importance of needing your support to get that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. I have Rick, Ben, and then Ted. Rick, your question?
Yeah, my question is, what's the current status of the the loan that, you know, paid off the Empire State Building? I forget what they call it. The
FJC.
The what?
The FJC one.
Oh, the FJC. FJC loan, yeah.
Okay.
I
alternate who starts. Bill, would you like to respond?
Well, I'll just ask for that.
No.
Okay.
Actually, there are members of this board, I'm going to say, who may know more than I do on this.
As far as I know, there's been no progress on how to pay it off. Zero.
But I can.
We just alternate, and if you want to pass, you may pass. Dwayne?
Oh, thank you very much. The previous speaker was one of those that were adamant about making these loans. We spent 9 to 10 months from December until June. Nothing else we ever did. That's why we're so late on this election, because we were consumed with issuing $3 million in loans, and I have been one of the lone voices. Of course, our cohorts from Houston, with the exception of the gentleman across from me, have asked consistently for a plan of repayment. And this majority, this supermajority, who throws down our throat every vote, we lose almost every vote, so some of you ought not get upset when you lose votes, because we live that way every day with the PNB. But I would say that there is no intent. Bill Croce and Grace Harris practically are the ones who run the show at the PNB level, and they have not come up with any plan, not before they hired an ED, not after they hired an ED. It's sabotage, in my opinion, for any intelligent individuals to put a corporation at $3 million in debt and have no plan after 10 months.
Time.
And now we only have 8 months left. This is sabotage.
Joseph, would you like to respond?
Sure. Again, the motions that came through the Strategic Planning Committee, which I sponsored, and through the National Finance Committee, there were parallel motions to basically asked each of the stations to reveal their financial practices. And of course, they were acted upon with Tom Livingston, and I certainly hope some progress gets made on that. And I would like to point out that KPFT's Finance Committee, in its budget that was approved, did in fact allocate $15,000 a month. So we actually, we felt that was a 10% part, which considering our ranking in the network was a reasonable expectation of us to be contributing. And we, I feel like the KPFT board and its finance committee has really stepped up to try to take responsibility and to say that we want to see the other stations do that. So I'm kind of proud of what we locally have done. I feel that the KPFT LSB and its finance committee did a good job better than the other stations.
Thank you.
Well, I'll just add real quickly, until the audit of 2017 is complete, we can't go after any sizable money to start working on this loan. So I'm not giving an excuse for why there's no plan. Dwayne's absolutely right. There should be a plan. But in the absence of one, the audit is the first priority. Once the audit is complete and we are able to go after major foundation support, individual donor support, where people are asking us for our financial records, we'll be able to satisfy that request. I firmly believe we can make the case to get the kind of support towards the payment of this debt that we'll need to get. I'm not one of those people who crosses the street looking at traffic. I look for the space between it. And so I can spend a lot of time focused on the obstacles and the concerns that are expressed around people sabotaging. I don't doubt that that's real. I can't confirm it either. But what I'm looking at is what can I do to service that debt when we have the financial records to go after the right.
Thank you, Audrey.
I want to add that it's absolutely true. We are doing nothing, and we are already in default. Okay? That is the reality. And one of the biggest problems of this foundation is the lack of transparency. You believe that you don't know anything? I'm a director since 2014, and I cannot get an answer to my questions. I cannot get an answer of who's paying, from which account, who are signing the checks, where is the money that the PMB clearly said that should be allocated in a specific reserve account. If we don't have that information, and it's true what Bill said, Wayne said, we have a supermajority in the PMB that is telling the minority, it's you. You don't have the right to know. We just directly do not answer you. And if you bother me in a meeting, I mess with your phone.
Thank
and I can
you.
Prove it. You, thank you.
Next, I have Ben and Ted and Nancy.
As you're on this point, I think that's why our delegate to the audit committee needs to be somebody who can be present. It's urgent. I have a two-part question for my executive director. You mentioned that we might get a chance to vote on whether we proceed with underwriting, and I'd like to know who all you envision getting to vote on that and in what forum. And then the second part is, in that same thread, you said that we should benchmark and get to a point where we excel at, and I'm not sure that you worded it, individual donor development.
Yeah.
And I'd like to hear more on that plan. That's exciting.
Yeah, so the first one, I've sat in on committee meetings regarding strategic planning. In those conversations, there's been a discussion of should Pacifica endorse as a foundation, should it endorse underwriting. It's a contentious issue. There are some stations that are adamantly opposed, others that completely believe with our financial condition we need to engage in. What I have suggested, and it's just a suggestion because I don't have voting power, is that we should, as a board, or the board should, define a very strict definition of underwriting and allow the stations at the local level to choose whether they want to participate. But at least we've given guidelines that are acceptable at the level, in terms of what Pacifica believes in. Because a full-throated underwriting may be inappropriate for the ethos of this organization and its five member stations. That's number one. The second question was about individual donor support.
Get the better end.
Yeah. For 6 years, I served on the board of directors for what was then called the Development Exchange Incorporated, which is the foremost authority on revenue generation in public media. They are the ones that host the national conference every year for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, NPR, and PBS. They have the best practices around revenue generation, whether it's major donor support, foundation support, corporate support, direct mail campaigns, membership drives, the like. I'm a firm believer, again, in best practices. If we are going to devote ourselves to being dependent on individual support versus corporate support versus underwriting and all other modes of financial revenue generation, my argument is that we should be the best at it. That just simply means that we need to learn what the best practices of individual donor support mean, what does that look like, and then employ those practices at our individual shops around the country. It's just that simple. So I wish I could go in deeper, but I didn't come out of time, but if you want to sidebar with me afterwards.
I gave you 2 minutes.
May I ask?
Of the directors want to respond?
Yes.
Dwayne, Joseph, you would be first.
Okay. We have, I think that you don't have it, but we can send it to you. The FCC liaison, Mr. Krieger, he have a really comprehensive work explaining specifically that why and how we should do, if we decide to do underwriting, the way to do it, because if not, we are risking our nonprofit status.
Yeah,
and that is the first conversation that we need to have, and then the membership needs to.
True, see. But let me just clarify. FCC compliance is not what I'm necessarily speaking to. If you let underwriting go full board, you can be getting in bed with organizations that you have no agreement with philosophically, and that may not be something that we as an organization want to do. We can be very specific about the kind of underwriters we would entertain, and that's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Us defining very rigidly and succinctly what kind of underwriting we would do. Is it only pre-recorded spots? Is it only 15 seconds? Some are 30. Is it only 15? Is it with music beds or not? Those are questions that we as an organization should define at the national level, and then the local station should decide whether they want to play game or not.
Can we do a point of information? Is it appropriate?
Is it a tricky way to ask another question?
Yeah. do you not accept to ask a question in a point of information?
Yes, it's like a clarifying point.
Are you aware that we do underwriting and it was not put to anybody?
Yeah, I am. That's it's already out the gate, as they say. The horse is out the barn or whatever.
That is
true, which is more reason why the board needs to create a policy.
I mean, were you aware that it was done without proven?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, did you want to speak to this?
No.
Okay, thank you. Ted, your question?
Ben gave me a great line a few minutes ago. He said, I have a two-part question. I have a three-part question, and we can skip the second and third questions by saying, yes, you're going to be in town tomorrow, and we can meet with you. Is that possible?
Well, I fly out at, I think, 2:30 from Bush Airport. I have a 9 o'clock meeting for breakfast, probably out of that by 10:30, 11 o'clock. So I probably could meet between 11 and 12, but that's probably the limit so I can get to the airport. So if anyone is interested, I'm certainly available.
I do want to ask you, privately or publicly, and I think the body should know the answer to this. We have been through, not just KPFT, but all of the stations have been through interim general managers, interim program directors, and some people maintain that the rules that cover general managers and program directors do not apply to people in those interim positions. You want to know how I feel about this, or do you want this loaded question to come your way?
However you choose to do.
No, this is a time for questions.
So you want me to answer how I feel about it?
How do you feel about whether or not the bylaws apply the same to interims as they do.
I would have to imagine that any interim PD or GM is subjected to the same rules as the GM.
Joseph, did you want to speak to that?
Yeah, I will. It is written in our bylaws that there are certain procedures for hiring general managers. It doesn't say interim or not interim, and it's not specified. And unfortunately, there have been some practices that have been outside the bylaws in the past that people have taken advantage of and said that, well, it doesn't apply to this. Actually, our bylaws don't specify, therefore they cover all of what it says.
Oh.
It's unfortunate that our bylaws get stuck all the time, and I'm really proud of the fact that you said that trying to establishing and following our bylaws is something that it will help our organization. So thank you.
Adriana, did you want to speak to that?
I agree absolutely. I mean, people have the tendency, when it's obligations or duties, they will answer you, it's I, GM. I, PD, doesn't apply. When it's about the right, you know, to do things, it's not difference at all. That is the politics that is being in play in the foundation. That is politics. But obviously, I agree.
Normally, you know, interim GMs or PDs are allowed to have the same responsibilities of others, but, you know, we're missing the context. I don't think we should spend time worrying about this right now, because we're not going to get agreement on it anyway.
Thank you.
Dwayne,
did you want to speak to it?
Why not? I have fair confidence in our new ED, but if you listen to the stream and most of the dirt that's been going down with this rogue majority on the PNB has been done in private session. But this ED, he's set with the right temperament and the right focus. But whether or not they will allow him, because we've already seen two times where his good ethics was trumped by the majority on this PNB board. Now, how he handles that is his personal business. How long he's going to do it, do that dirty work and allow them to do things he know is illegal, he know is unethical, including the way that they're handling this election. Notwithstanding the fact, they always throw back that it's the bylaws. Well, the bylaws say you're supposed to have an in-person meeting three times a year, and they violated that willy-nilly. The bylaws say a lot of things, but they choose which ones they want to employ. And these rogue stations around the five of us doing what the hell they want to do with respect to development or anything. So, the reality is that will we have an organization without a rogue majority that would allow the person that they hired to do his job? But right now, they're not allowing him to do his job. With evidence of what's going on with this decision here in Houston this week.
Nancy, you have our last question.
Yeah. I want to do more than just one. But
we are out of time, so you need to limit yourself to one, please.
Okay. Could I entertain a suggestion that you speak directly to the membership on the air? And tell them, hey, your representatives are doing the hell they want and they're not giving me information. I mean, why don't you speak to the membership? Because they don't know what's going on. They're not coming to these board meetings. Only the really, really diehards come to these meetings.
Oh, yeah.
Would you like to respond?
Yeah. Let me make sure I understand what you're asking. You're asking me to
get on the air.
To say. Are you asking me if I will get on the air?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I've already done it. PFW in D.C. I've already been on their air. I'm certainly open to it. I think there's better use of your air than me, but humbly, I certainly would accept you back.
Oh, well, if you're on PFW, did you tell the membership there that one of their PNB directors is muting our directors?
That question didn't come up.
Dwayne, you requested some time at the end of this for a presentation.
Thank you so much. This was done down at City Hall today. I had some arrangements with the ED to be accompanied, but since I didn't get any response in the last 48 hours from my phone calls, Mr. ED, would you come forward, please?
Sure.
I was down at City Hall. I had asked many of you to come, but since the ED didn't respond to me so that we could coordinate to have the mayor present this, but on behalf of some council members who have been on our airways, each of them want to submit a resolution or a proclamation acknowledging KPFT and the great work that it's done here. But one in particular who's been on our airways a great deal, you might recognize his name, Michael Kubosh. The city of Houston recognizes you for your superior contributions to the community, your dedication to serve the people, and support of businesses in the community is proven to be the best. A famous quote, "We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give." You are a champion in the community and so many who love you. The city of Houston is proud of you and salute you on this day, witness thereof. I have here to set my hand on this 14th day of November, Michael Kubosh, Houston City Council member at large, position 3. The mayor of Houston presented a proclamation. I won't read it all. The KPFT Radio Pacifica Foundation, whereas KPFT was established in 1970 by Larry Lee as a non-commercial radio station and one of the 5 stations under Pacifica Radio Foundation. He felt a great need for the Houston community to have an alternative voice to standard radio fare. And whereas since establishment of KPFT has broadcast a diverse mix of music, talk, and news 24 hours a day on 2 channels, FD, FM, and HD3. Through its generous volunteers, the hosts that host, report, DJ, and produce virtually all the KPFT programming, listeners across the greater Houston area and in Galveston have been able to listen in for over 5 decades. Skipping to, whereas on November 14, 2018, KPFT will celebrate its 50th anniversary, the city of Houston commends and congratulates KPFT on this momentous occasion and extends best wishes on its continued success. Therefore, I, Sylvester Turner, mayor of the city of Houston, hereby proclaim November 14, 2018 as KPFT Radio Pacifica Foundation Day. If you would put that in the archives.
As a point of clarity, I did respond, but and I'll prove it to Dwayne later because I know he's a man that needs proof. This is fantastic. I'll make sure.
I just wish you were there.
Thank you for your efforts, Dwayne.
Thank you.
We are moving on to the interim general manager's report. Didn't think we'd get to you, did you?
I was going to tell you, excuse me. That's fine. I'll just briefly do this. We talked about the fund drive already. There was a question on the on-air quality of our station. What we found out is that our station, since the Sounds of Texas, has been set at the transmitter for nothing but music. So whenever a talk show comes on, if somebody speaks, they are cut off. So it's nothing but bass. You have no trouble coming out. So that when people say, why does KUHF sound better than KPFT? Well, because they're still on music. The only thing is we go from music to talk. So if we're going to set the actual box, we need to set a schedule first because it has to switch back and forth. Because we can't pick one. That's just not what we're doing as a station. The election process, we have fixed that portion as far as what ALMA has asked for, the LES has asked for as far as the members that are eligible. We redid it after it was done a certain way, that, just to ensure that it was done right. We have a silent drive coming up starting November 27th, and that will introduce a new premium, which will be little holiday phones.
Ornaments?
Yeah, ornaments. Yeah, it's ornaments. It's been the longest day. We have holiday ornaments coming, but it's one of those things of getting everything finalized, recording some spots, getting with everybody to record all of the spots that we say we're going to record. Also getting the grant funding that we are applying for. Also, rolling out the podcast studio and fixing our actual programming schedule, because currently our programming schedule is very light, I will say. We can be a lot heavier. Whenever they did the Committee of Inclusion report, that was before I changed a lot of stuff, and I'm constantly changing things. But at the same time, as IGM, I already understand, because I've been around long enough to understand that if we do anything drastic, we lose everybody. So we have to, at least from what I've seen, is slow block scheduling for a change, but eventually it will be a drastic change that we will have to have, because our station is allowing too many shows that aren't living up to the potential of what the community needs and reflecting the community's needs. So that's something that we have to really look forward to. Me and Dwayne are supposed to get together as far as going over what we need to do as a station to make sure everybody's included. That was part of our committee that we're still working on.
We have a few minutes for questions. Ted?
In the minutes of our last meeting, there was a resolution by Bob Gartner, and it had to do with Sandy Wineman, and that problem was thrown to you. Can you please report where that matter stands?
As I said, when that report was given to me and pushed through, the whole thing with Sandy Wyman was, it's a dynamic switch. With Sandy Wyman being the person to actually receive any complaints, that was a wrong thing to do. If you have a complaint against Sandy Wyman, you'll never get that through. So that being rectified, yes. And asking Gardner if anything has happened since I became IGM, the answer is no. Sandy no longer is a problem as far as Gardner is concerned, at least from what I've talked to Gardner about.
Thanks.
Item 3, election process. There is no information apparently about the election. Is it happening? Where can you find information about it?
It's happening. I can send out, once we get the final dates, because the problem with the election technically, it's just the dates, and that's a PMB. So once I get the actual final dates on everything, I can send it out. I can send out the dates I have now.
So there's currently no website. It's still under construction.
Yes, because we were on pause for a little bit, because we had a very short time to try to get a lot of information that was supposed to be done in March, but we're forced to do it now.
Right.
So we're getting the information. Nobody's going, hey, we can't give you the information. We're getting the information out. It's just, when is everything needed?
I
need
that, and we have 2 minutes till our time certain
executive director was trying to answer something.
I mean, I can add some. You're talking about the local election board?
We have 2 minutes till our executive session.
Yeah, so here's the quick and dirty on this. We had to move back the dates by 1 week, but we're waiting to confirm that that is a legal maneuver, if you will, because we recently discovered some issues in the bylaws that suggest we're supposed to get 45 days between the announcement of the vote and the actual vote, whereas what was approved by the PMB was 35 days. So we're trying to verify whether that 35 days can stand or not. Because if it can't stand, we're talking about an election that won't really take place until probably the very beginning of March versus now. Now, what I can promise you is we are going to give the appropriate amount of time, but we're just trying to verify that what the PMB approved is legal.
Anissa, no, it's Anissa's turn to ask a question. Anissa?
Don, since we got the ordinance in today, how much are they being offered as a premium?
30.
And also, if we wanted to see what the premiums of other stations were like, how would we do that? I mean, if I wanted to see
their websites. Each one has a different one. Also, our membership website is changing. Because right now, we have a problem with ours, where whenever you go on, it just shows you the first show that's on at that time. It's going to actually go through a proper system, because right now, our system is wrong.
Thank you. No, we're done with this. Public, thank you for coming. Thank you for speaking if you did. Thank you for listening if you did. It's time for us to go into executive session, so I'm going to ask you to leave and drive home safely and have a good night.
But executive director can stay.
While this transition is taking place, I need your attention. We have several items on. I need your attention. We have several items on our agenda we did not get to, so I need to poll us for an adjourned meeting. First, I am going to go around and ask you if you're available next week for a meeting, and then I'm going to have us vote. I understand that this is in our standing rule, so we would meet next Wednesday at 7. Joseph, are you available?
Next Wednesday at 7, no.
Dwayne?
No.
Benicia? Wally?
I'll be out of town. Thanks.
Don? Rita?
No.
Ben?
No. Yes.
Ted?
I'm having hip replacement surgery.
Did you need answer? No.
I'm having hip replacement surgery next Wednesday.
No. Okay, I'm a no. Rick?
Next week is Thanksgiving. I'll probably.
Yes or no, please?
Yes or no, please.
Alon.
Yes.
Bill?
No.
Denisha?
No.
Wesley?
No.
Susie? Bob? Bob, yes or no? Guys, this should be fast. Adriana?
No.
Nancy?
Yes!
We only have 4 yeses. That's not quorum. Now we're going to vote whether we should have a meeting. All those in favor of having a meeting, raise your hand next Wednesday at 7. 1, 2. All those opposed? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Everybody else? Okay. So we're not having a meeting next week. Next week, I will move all of these items to our December agenda. This adjourns our regular November meeting of the local station board on November 14th.